maybe over 2 years, at least over 2 years. And I'm so happy for the invitation again. I don't know why you keep inviting me. I'm not a good speaker, you know. I'm just like to share things that I've been working in my life. You know, I'm so happy to see some of these young men get involved in the church. That's what keeps the church going. You know, see one of the elders, a young person, I see the pianist and the singer. You know, that was a pastor that invited him in a church to give a week of prayer. And during the days, you know, every day that he speak, he do an invitation. Anyone who wants to accept the Lord, nothing, nobody. He keeps speaking every day until finally the last day that he was speaking, for some reason he decided to invite her from the platform, from the specials, from everything, or the whole program, he invited all young people to participate. They say, he said that during the time that he was coming into the church and speak, this pastor, they see an older man sitting on the front. And every time, you know, he trying to reach him. So every sermon he trying, and always look to him and see if he's the one who coming forward. But said nothing until the last day. He said, what am I going to do? I'm going to live with anybody come forward during this my whole week. So that's why he decided to bring all these young people. And when he did an invitation in the last sermon, he see a lot of people came forward, including the men. And he was so excited that these people came forward. So he come down and he say, wow, congratulations. I'm so happy to see you. You know, you make a decision. He said, I want to ask you a question. What makes you, what day that was the one that touched you? Or what verse that we read that really touch your heart that make the, for you to make that decision? Or what sermon, what topic during the week that I preach that touch you? And the answer from this man say, there was a no day, not even a verse that you read, not even you preaching. What make me come forward is when I see all these young people giving their life to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, young people, you don't know how special you are to God. When you and your young age, you dedicate your life to the Lord. You know, I would like to see you get a little bit more. I see like everybody's too tense. You know, maybe it's me, but you know, we're in God's church. We should be happy. And now you're going to find out why. You know, this week has been a hard week for me. And you can hear on the prayer. Because two things. First, I have to speak on the Sabbath. Every time I have to speak on the Sabbath, you know, I pray the whole week and trying to God to help me. Second, my mom got a stroke on Monday. And, you know, that's not one of the person that loves so much as my beautiful mom. I don't have my dad, I only have my mom. And when that things like that happens to her, it's hard for me to put on everything just thinking about work or thinking about anything else. Only thing that's in my mind is I hope my mom is okay. But I want to invite you to really keep my mom in your prayers, because that's very special to me. I was, do you remember the last time I came here? You remember the topic? You know, I speak here about it's time. And you know what the whole thing about it's time? It's time, and the whole sermon that was at it's time for you and I to go and reach any of our children or our relatives and bring it back to the Lord. It's time. The time is so close for the second coming. And I said, there's no time to waste right now. It's time for us to do something. Whatever they take, you and I need to do to bring our kids back, or our parents, or our friends back to church. Because Jesus is coming soon. Last year I was in the, I don't know if you've been in the Spanish church in Riverside, in La Sierra. They call it La Sierra Spanish Church. It's a big church, probably about 1,000 members. They do 2 services. And I was there, and I speak about this topic in the Hilo Church. But I was there, and impressed me because I was a new pastor. And this pastor, about 2 weeks early, he asked the congregation, and he gave these papers, he asked the deacons to pass these papers. And he said, in 2 weeks, I would like for you to bring me a list. He told this to the members. A list of all your sons, the daughters, or your relatives, they used to be here in this church and they're not here anymore. That Sabbath when I was there, he had that list in his hand. And believe it or not, that was probably a little bit thicker than this. That was one grandma. There are about 27 kids, only her in the church, and everybody that was out of the church. You know, when I hear that, and he say, there's about 600 names here, of relatives in our church, now in our church, they have sons, daughters, grandsons, and they're not in the church. When I hear that really break my heart. And I say, what's happening in our churches? What's really happening in our churches? Why this has happened? It's not you and I are here in the Sabbath school, real good comments. It's not you and I know that Jesus is coming soon. We really believe that Jesus is coming soon. If we know that when Jesus is coming, if you know that Jesus is coming soon, what do you think we should be doing? Praising the Lord and trying to bring somebody that we know, that we love, and help them to be ready because the Lord is coming. You want to be in heaven by yourself and not with your wife or with your kids? I don't think you'll be happy. I think you want to do all what it takes to try to reach those that you love the most. You remember in the Old Testament, every time Jesus healed somebody, first they want to what they want to do? They want to stay with Jesus. But Jesus, what did Jesus say? Go and tell. Go to the ones that you love the most, your family. And tell them what I did to you. Sometimes, you know, if you and I, we're going to be spending eternity with God, you don't think we should be spending time with God daily? And start knowing Jesus more and more? You're not gonna be married with somebody that just okay, let's get married. You're gonna know the person because you're gonna spend the rest of your life with the person. That's what is the time that you meet the person and spend time with the person. That way you know the person better. That's what we should be doing with Jesus. What I got this topic when I was in the Sierra, and then I just came back and I was thinking, what's wrong in the churches? And that's what I came with this topic, the closet, the living room, and church. Three areas very important that I think if you miss in one of those, I think we're in trouble. And we're going to tell you why. I'm only going to tell you three verses. And you can take it and digest it during the week and think about your own personal family and your own personal life. This is what that helps me to get closer to God. This is the thing. And if you read Matthew 6:6, we just read the verse. He say the closet. Why do you think I use the closet? Well, you know, I was trying to find a verse, and if you're looking in this verse, that's what they mention. In this Bible, they mention the closet. Not in another versions. But what the verse say? What the Matthew 6:6? When you what? Go where? He said, when you pray, go, using this verse, go to the closet and spend time with God alone. What does that mean? That means that you and I, we need to spend time with God daily to know Him. That's what, you know, the closet can be any time, any place during the day. For me, the closet is different than you. What God's trying to say here is you and I, we need to spend time with Him daily, at least for a short time. They can be lunchtime, they can be a break time, they can be in the morning, They can be in the afternoon, but don't let a day go by without spending time with God in the closet. You know what's a closet for me? I live in Kona, and I work in Hilo. And I'm a Hilo member. And I drive every day to work. An hour and a half, that's my closet. Because I'm driving by myself. I leave at 4:30 in the morning from Kona. And that's my time with the Lord. An hour and a half talking to him. And we became so close, him and I, that I feel like he's right next to me. And I turn around and I talk to him like if he's right there with me for an hour and a half. That's my closet. I spend time with him daily. I turn the radio and I turn around. Do you like the music? And I can see him say, no, I turn the radio off. That's the kind of relationship that I spend with him for an hour and a half. I can be using music and rock or whatever, but that's my time. That's the closet for me and the Lord. You know, we get close to Hilo, and I turn the radio again. You're like, no, I know what you want to hear. You want to hear Bill Church in the morning, but it's not time when I have a good reception. You know, that's the kind of relationship for me. What kind of relationship you and God have daily? You need to spend time with God in the closet. You know, sometimes we're so afraid to spend time with God in the closet because we're afraid that God is going to say to us, boy, you need to change in here and this because, you know, your attitude is not good. You know, how are you you don't treat your wife good or kids. You know, they're at work, you know. Sometimes we're afraid because during that time in the closet, that's when God is going to help you because it's quiet. It's only you and him. Jesus spent time with his father in the mountain alone, away from all the noisy area. Because he doesn't want to miss God's voice. He wants to hear the Father, his voice. And that's why you and I, we need to spend time in the closet. Are you spending time in the closet with the Lord every day? We don't think we should be doing that now that we're going to be spending time with him for eternity. Don't think we should know that we're talking to God daily? That we fall in love with him? That we wanted to be with him for eternity? That we're only going to do that when you spend the time with God? I think that's what's happening in our times. That's why our churches are cold. Because we don't have, that desire to be with God. It's a routine that we make. I got to go there to the church because I got to go. But it's not because they move you, because I want to be with Jesus. Because if you, the other way, you'd be a different person. You'd be excited because you spend time with the Lord in the closet. Are you spending time with God daily in the closet with him? Do you know Jesus? This is what happens to me when I meet the Lord. I've been in the church for 30 years. And I see, when I became Seventh Adventist, how the church was. And I see in the last 30 years, I see a lot of changes. I wish I can tell you that was for the best, but I see a lot of changes for the worse, declining. I was in the church in California, that's my church. The church that I meet the Lord in Vista. Every time I go over there, it's less and less members that I used to know. I can go in the church, it's probably over 50% of the members that they knew. The members that I was there when I leave Hilo, when I leave mainland in 1993, they're not there anymore. They leave the church. I was expecting that in 30 years that church be triple. But it looks like it's less and less. Look like people don't spend any time with God in the closet. So they don't know Jesus. It's a routine. Cannot be a routine, my brothers and sisters. They have to have something different. We need to connect with Jesus. And it's only going to happen when you spend time with him in the closet. Where is your closet? During lunch hour? Where is your closet? It's you the one who's got to make it. Nobody else. Why the living room? Where is the living room? It's not in the center of your home. If you don't have a relationship with God, what are you going to bring to the living room around your family? What are you going to share with them? Are you going to sit with your family in the living room and watching a movie? Or you reading the newspapers and your kids jumping all over? Or you want to bring Jesus? Because you spend this time with him in the closet. Now you're going to have something to come and share with your family in the living room. The living room is very important. It's there for a reason. It's there for a reason. It's there to sit down with your family at least once a week or once a day. Sit down with them and talk to them and say, you know, this is what God is doing for us. You got to make your family, you got to do something that way they can fall in love with Jesus. But the living rooms, they're empty. Sometimes there's not even kids there. We have beautiful furniture, beautiful TV, square, skinny. But there's no family. And not the Bible said, in Psalms 127:1, that if God is not in the center of your home, it's useless. That's what the Bible says. God has got to be in the living room with you and your family. That's the reason we struggle in the church, because there's no relationship in the closet with you and the Lord, and there's nothing in the living room. There's nothing. You got to make a day, at least a day, a week, to spend time with your family and talk about what God is doing in their lives. How God is helping your son or daughter. Are you struggle? This is what happened to me, but I have the answer. It's Jesus who's helping us. I don't know if I share this with you, but you know, when one day when I was in California, my kids, you know, I have two sons, I have a son and a daughter. And one time, you know, on a Friday, our living room for us, for our family, is Friday nights. We make Friday nights. I want to receive the Sabbath in peace. Because, you know, that's a lot of times that's what the devil works on us. Sometimes we get us upset with the wife and the husband. Because Sabbath, you don't want to have a good, peaceful Sabbath. In the morning, you know, we're going to come to church, the wife takes too long and you get it upset or something. It's the Sabbath. So my wife and I, we, you know, she didn't know, but we get together in Fridays, always Fridays as a family. And that day, I remember my kids was, you know, Fernando, my daughter, Crystal. I was always, I've been in church involved since I became Seventh Adventist. Always been in, you know, in every activity. So I was always involved, Bible studies, doing all these things. So I was taught that I was a good father and a good Christian person. That Friday, for some reason, I think the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, why don't you do something different? Because sometimes when we got together in the living room on a Friday, you know, it's either me doing something, read, and I'm doing all the talking and not too much back and forth. But that day, you know, I remember something came to my mind and say, why don't you give a white piece of paper like this to everyone? Maybe give one to your daughter, one to your son, and give two or three to your wife, because she's probably have a lot more to say, to write. And ask them to write in this piece of paper things that they don't like about me, about you. So I give one to my daughter, give one to my son, give one to my wife. And I took one. And I want to write things that I don't like about them. When I received the papers, you know, in my mind, that was already sure what they're going to put. I know my son is going to say, Dad, you're a good father. You know, you good dad, you know, play with me, you know, you do all these things, you know, you're a good Christian. And I thought that's what my daughter is going to say, Dad, you spend a lot of time with me. I'm so happy. And I tell my wife, oh, you know, my wife is going to say a lot of good things too. You know, I'm so glad that you're my husband And you know, you are paid, you really, you know, you supply, you know, support us, and you are a good Christian, you do these Bible studies. I thought that's all this report. When I got the paper and I was reading, I see what my son say. That can be, you know. Then my daughter and my wife. But you know, now I have these papers in my hand. I have to make a decision. And you know what? My son and my daughter, the main thing, and my wife, you spend not enough time. You don't spend enough time with us. You're in the church always. You're doing all these things. You got involved this one. How about us? It's always about time. Everything about time. There wasn't, my wife wrote a lot of things there, but I wasn't complaining. She was saying what she would like to see me change. Now I have those papers and I have to do well. I'm not going to do what you told me, you know, that I'm doing wrong. I have a decision to make. And that's what I decide. I say, you know what? What's good is that I give all these Bible studies and all these things and I'm losing my family. So I have to make a change. I make a balance. So what I did, I break the week, different days for different of them. Saturday, we go to church together as a family. Sunday, we go as a family to recreation, together as a family. Monday, that was my wife and I. My son know that he's got to take care of my daughter. So my wife and I, we just go for a walk for 2 hours. That's our time for us. Tuesday, that was our kids' day. That was my daughter's day. Wednesday, we go to church. Thursday was my son. And Friday was the family in the living room. So we make a balance. And I can turn back. I can go back and I look back and I'm glad I make that decision. Because I see my family still in the church. You have to make those adjustments. But you have to do that and when? In the living room with the family. You have to bring Jesus to the living room. Not bring movies, the new movies. You got to bring Jesus to the living room. You know, make the living room at least a day a week to talk about what God is doing in their lives. Give your sons, your daughter an opportunity to be open. But you're only going to do it because it's in the living room. It's a family. That's what I think is struggle. We don't have the relationship in the closet with the Lord. And sometimes we not even have it in the living room. We're so busy. There's no time in the living room for a family. And then later we say, can you pray for my son? Can you pray for my daughter? Can you pray for my wife? Can you pray for my husband? How about doing our part in the living room? If God is not in the center of our home, it's useless. God has to be the center. Now, the church. A lot of times we confuse that we don't have a relationship with God daily, and we don't have a relationship in the living room, and we want to everything happen in church in 3 hours. One went to church. That's, church is only the place when you get all the families together and just come to worship God as a family, because now it's all the families, they're going to join, because that's the families they're going to be together in heaven. And it's all about praise God in the church. It's about just praise for what God did during the week. Me with the Lord, me in the living room. Now we just come here and only thing we join is the family to praise God. Not to come over here and do this. It's they have to be happy because what God did for me and my family during the week. Now you come into church to praise God in the church. That's what the church is all about. It's to join together the family. This is the family that we're going to be spend eternity together. But the beginning is in the closet and in the living room. And you just come in here just to praise God for what he's done in your own personal life. If you don't spend time with God during the week, just use as an example, 300 members. You can spend time one-to-one during the week, one-to-one. He's available one-to-one with you. And then you can bring Jesus to your family and introduce Jesus to your kids, to your wife, to your husband, and the family in the living room. And because you do those things, you come to church happy, you know. But just thinking, like, if you don't spend time with God on a daily basis, and you don't spend time with God in the living room, and you come to church, and it's only Jesus with 300 people, how much time are you going to get with him? Not much. Because everybody wants to talk to Jesus. Say that Jesus is here and everybody wants, can I talk to you, Jesus? Can I talk to you? Well, how much time are you going to be able to spend with Jesus? When you can spend an hour and a half, 30 minutes, 50 minutes, whatever time by yourself. Wake up early and spend time with Jesus. And you're going to see the difference when you bring Jesus to your home. The church is a beautiful place to be, but only to join families. If we do this, spending time with Jesus on a daily basis, and Jesus tell you this is the areas you need to correct, and I help you, not by yourself, I'm going to help you. And this is, so you're going to be, thank you, Jesus, for helping me, because you know, but you're not criticizing me. So thank you, you're trying to help me. Then you come to the living room and you see your kids doing something wrong. No, don't worry, son or daughter. I help you. I'm not going to criticize you. I'll be here to help you. I'll take you through because I spend the time with my Lord. So I know he told me how to help you. So when you come to church, you don't come to look and see how the person is dressing or how the person is looking at me. No time for that. Because the time that you spend in church is just to worship God for that he's done for you during that week. Are you ready to do those things? I cannot tell you what to do. It's a decision you have to make. But when I go, when I was there in La Sierra University and see this one, break my heart. How you think that the sister, the grandma feels coming by herself almost in the last day of her life? How you think she feels that I've been here for this many years and 27 of my kids not here? I'm faithful, but how about my kids? You don't think she wants to turn the clock back and say, if I should spend time with the Lord in the closet and in the living room, I probably have my kids here. And this church is going to be full, three services, when you spend time in the closet and in the living room. Because you can imagine here, just for a minute, how many families they represent here. 50? 20? Can you imagine if you bring all your families and your uncles and your cousins, whatever, in the church? I remember when my mother-in-law was, you know, my mother-in-law would have 16 kids. Two, you know, she filled one whole thing. That church was in three families. One they have 16, one they have 12, another one have 10. So that was already almost 50 people there. But I remember her, even before I got married with my wife. I remember my mother-in-law with 16 kids. Every morning, before the kids go to school, come on, sit down. We got to study. We got to study before you go. That way God can help you with your classes. Everybody right there, reading something, pray with them. They give a breakfast and then go to school. That was, now you go back and see her kids in church. The living room is very important. But don't use the living room to criticize your kids or your wife or your husband. use the living room to be a helper to your wife, your husband, or to your daughter, or to your son. That's where the living room is. But you got to start where? In the closet, when you and God. Thank you for the invitation and the time. God bless you. I think we're going to sing the song.